Our Bible reading this morning comes from John 3, verses 1 to 17, about how Nicodemus visits Jesus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the ones who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of God.
Today we eavesdrop, we listen in to the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. Next Sunday, we listen in to the conversation between the Samaritan unnamed woman and Jesus at the well. Nicodemus famously seeks out Jesus in the night under the cover of darkness. The Samaritan woman, seemingly by chance, comes across Jesus in the middle of the day when the sun and the light are at their brightest. One meeting in the dark, another in the light. On the screen is an image of Nicodemus as the artist sees him, his gaze directly into the eyes of Jesus. Nicodemus, intent and genuine, teacher to teacher. Nicodemus has not sought out Jesus lightly. Beverly Treadway and I both really loved that picture of Nicodemus and Jesus. Now, the Samaritan woman picture. On the screen, the Samaritan woman and her encounter with Jesus at the well. They look to be in lively conversation as the water is shared. It's a well-loved New Testament reading, well-loved by me and many others. I mention her especially because it's International Women's Day, but there'll be more on her and her community and Jesus in the lectionary reading next week. Back to Nicodemus and Jesus. Back to Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus, Pharisee, religious leader, man of influence, a wise move to come under the cover of darkness. We don't forget that Jerusalem is a dangerous place, especially then, controlled by the powerful Roman military and beset by danger and uncertainty in the complex liaisons of the religious leadership, which usually happens under a foreign occupying force. This has all has implications for the crucifixion of Jesus. Nicodemus probably risks his position and reputation and his colleagues' trust in him if he's seen to be in deep conversation with this itinerant teacher and healer who has increasing popular reputation. Even at night, Nicodemus probably takes a risk. Twice more we hear of Nicodemus in John's Gospel, the second time again in Jerusalem, always Jerusalem. The temple police, the chief priests and the Pharisees are arguing about Jesus and whether to arrest him and what to do with him. And here, Nicodemus, himself a Pharisee, reminds them not to judge Jesus. The law gives people a proper hearing. The others retort, "Surely you're not one of these believers." Nicodemus is taking a risk again. And then we come across him again, this time immediately after the death of Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea, because of his fear of the religious leaders, is a secret disciple. He received permission to take care of Jesus' body. Now Nicodemus also came, bringing expensive spices to help prepare Jesus' body for burial. He was certainly drawn to Jesus. He's had a lot of criticism for being an unbeliever, for being even a bad man, but really you can see that he's on a journey and we really don't know what became of him after that. But I think he is a significant character in the story of Jesus. Much in John's Gospel is poetic in its writing, and often it's swirling in mystery. The conversation with Nicodemus at times to be almost stilted by Jesus. The writer is making some points. Jesus telling Nicodemus, "You," the plural, "you all need to be born again." No wonder Nicodemus is puzzled at the conversation. Jesus uses the metaphor of birth and rebirth to enable Nicodemus and us to recognise that to become part of the living kingdom of God needs sometimes a turnaround, reborn in water and spirit, inviting us to recognise what the realm of God looks like, look at Jesus and follow in the way of Jesus and the Spirit. There is the realm of God. You will find the realm of God as we look at Jesus. We grow in the womb in water and are born in water. And it's here that I honour all women who have birthed a child. Not an easy process, far from it. At any time and in many places, frequently a life-threatening process, especially where there's little or no advanced medical help. So I won't hear of the first birth being other than formidable and amazing, and each child born precious to humanity and beloved by God. And so the need to be born of the Spirit. In response to the question Nicodemus asks about being born anew, Jesus doesn't really provide an absolute clear explanation. Yet in his words about water and the Spirit, about birthing and love, Jesus offers something better than an explanation. My friend Jan Richardson, the writer, artist, and ordained minister in the Uniting Methodist Church in the US, says this: Jesus extends to Nicodemus and to us an invitation to relationship and to a journey of transformation. Here is her symbolic painting, Jan's symbolic painting, born of water and of spirit. The season of Lent begins with a wilderness, as per last Sunday's focus. Jesus struggles in the desert with temptation. And now we move to something more, the presence of life-giving water and life-giving spirit, with only fragments of the wilderness. And you can see in the picture the water, the blue. You can see the swirling of the spirit going where it will, and fragments of the wilderness still there. I felt some temptation to have only part of this Bible reading, including the references to Moses lifting up the serpent, for instance. We know that this would have been understood by Nicodemus the scholar, a reference to a complex and strange episode in the Old Testament book of Numbers with Moses and the people in the desert. There are parts in this reading which give great comfort and reassurance and inspiration to so many people. At the same time, many are aware too of the potential shadow side. That is, the classifying of people as being either in or out, and the suffering that exclusion can bring. And we don't have to look far to see that in history, in our own land, and in our world today. Now a journey of relationship and transformation is offered. We may have seen or experienced a deep, sudden, life-changing transformation ourselves. And we can just think of the absolute example of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. There was a change, a turnabout. And we hear people say of a big revelation or a turnaround encounter, it was a Damascus Road experience. Yet there are smaller time and again transformation experiences rather than such a big one. Jesus chooses the image of birth and rebirth with a wealth of implications to sort through. Such a metaphor as this implies there's a beginning of perpetual change. When we are born, we achieve a new state, but not a static one. Perhaps it's like being reborn again and again through our tapestry of life, this reborn of the Spirit. Trusting the life of Jesus, new risking, new emerging, new courage and faith along the way. It's International Women's Day today, as we know. And I want to take the opportunity for us to remember a woman who made a real difference to the lives of women and children here in South Australia and further afield. And we have inherited her legacy, her exceptional strength of character, her determination, her doggedness of not letting go is said to have been found in her command of biblical sources and in her faith. And she's mentioned in that book, The Bible in Australia, A Cultural History. She is Mary Lee. She came from Ireland to Adelaide in 1888, aged 58 years, a Methodist woman, and with others like Catherine Helen Spence, fought hard and won advances for women, including the right to vote and later for the right for women to stand for Parliament. They worked for proper wages and health and much more. They fought hard for the improvement of lives of women and children, especially the poor. It's recorded that amongst her many other good works, she regularly visited the destitute asylum near North Terrace and comforted the women there. And as I reflect on that, I think perhaps she visited my great-grandmother Elizabeth there when my grandmother was born. There are many, many women today working hard to improve the life of women and children. Just think of the Break the Silence organisation, where trying to break down the sexual violence, the rape and the killing of women. And we see it and read about it every day. It needs to change. Shortly, we'll look at a Lent event video with two women, Mary and Attica, Christian and Muslim, in Ambon, Indonesia, and the church there, having the courage to call Reverend Jenny Elna Maupali there, a woman with an awe-inspiring passion for peace building, recognised by the United Nations recently. She's making a difference to lives, and we can be part of that enabling by prayerful financial support of this year's Lent event program. We too, each person and as community, women and men and children, during this season of Lent as we approach Easter, may we be strengthened in faith, discernment and courage through Jesus, our hope and our life. Amen.